Welcome to Truth News Radio Australia on this 15th day of April 2010. Tonight, we bring you the world in, in the palm of your hand, eternity in an hour, and it's time to engage. All guns blazing. Welcome, Josh Jackson.
G'day, Harold. Another wonderful day. Another wonderful show lined up here.
We do. We've got the Twitter feed sparking, and we've got a whole bunch of stories here just fresh off the press. In fact, we've got one that's so fresh off the press that I haven't even hasn't even been tweeted yet, because it's actually happening live as we speak. As we speak right now, as we broadcast, the venerable Australian journalist Kerry O'Brien is interviewing Barack Obama. And I'm sure this will be replayed over and over again on the television, so by the time you get this podcast, you will have seen it or snippets of it. I'm going to try perhaps later in the show to line up a small segment of it, because there was one particular exchange that occurred between Kerry and Barack Obama that I thought was quite chilling and gets back to the point about what the climate change agenda is. He said something like this. He said, "If people in Australia and America think that they can maintain the same style of living or standard of living," either said style of living or standard of living, "that they're used to, then they've got a really miserable time coming." That's what he said. What do you think of that?
That's a pretty full-on statement right there.
It is, isn't it? It's very indicative of this underlying agenda that we've seen with climate change alarmism. But it's always been sort of just below the surface, you know. And so you only occasionally hear them admit, "Yes, actually, we do want to drive your living standards down."
It's about crushing the middle class folk. Honestly, it's about saying that, look, there's instead of actually getting free energies or clean energies to a proper state where that we can, how should I put this? Because if you believe that coal is a bad thing and petrol is a bad thing, which I do in a lot of ways, I don't think it's very good to have petrol because of the carbon monoxide poisoning, the oil spills that happen. But whether we go clean energy or not, we're still going to have oil, because we have plastics, we have drugs, we have inks, we have CDs we need to create. We have, you know, plastic is everywhere. And so oil is never just going to go away. All the drugs that we that the pharmaceuticals make are pretty much derived from fossil fuels. And, you know, I mean, not all the drugs, but there's
a huge fossil fuel industry that's there to stay.
So it's never going to disappear. But I've lost train of thought here. But what I was saying is, instead of, you know, delivering us true solutions to the fossil fuel problem, if you think it's a problem, by looking at stuff that's been proven over and over again with Tesla revealing that you can actually pull energy from the ionosphere there's vast amounts of different styles of energy, geothermal power, all this sort of stuff. Instead, it's just let's just stop everyone from actually living the standard of living that they've got right now. And when they say standard of living, it's not about, oh, you can't have your VCR and you can't have your TV. It's not that. It's about energy. Because standard of living drop dramatically when you can't turn your light switch on or you need to only allow this much energy usage because you can't afford, because of the massive carbon taxes that are involved in day-to-day living. So when energy is taxed to a high degree, all of a sudden your grocery prices all go up because of the carbon taxes paid to transport and to this and that. And people say, "Ooh, well, that's good, because that means, it will eventually lead to alternative energies and and other stuff. Well, not really, because what actually happens is that people demand higher wages, you know, because they people all of a sudden demand higher wages. Then, you know, employers find it hard to actually keep up with that. A lot of businesses go broke. There's this massive knock-on effect. It's not, ooh, let's make a massive tax and all of a sudden everyone will head towards one direction, which is cleaner energy. No, what will actually happen is that people, everything changes. Everything changes. They want higher wages. People get, you know, part of economics, and this is a big, strong part of economics, which is mainly focused on in the Austrian school, is that you shouldn't focus on what is created, but what in fact isn't created. So when you create a new tax, you see, oh yeah, this could happen, that could happen. But what are the unseen consequences of this massively extravagant and over-the-top tax, globally enforced tax for the first time in history? And the consequences will be huge. And that's what Barack Obama's talking about.
Apparently, yeah. And we've just got to always come back to the focus of why is it that we are being indoctrinated with this idea that expending energy is the new form of evil. It's like it's yeah. replaced the Catholic Church's concept of sin. In fact, the churches have actually used carbon sins as something for Lent. Did you hear about that? Like they've actually, some churches have actually said that you have to give up your carbon footprint for Lent, which is, you know, a traditional thing when Christians during the Lent season are supposed to give up doing something that is sinful, you know? And so how has this religious idea just crept in, just inserted itself back into our society, which was supposedly a secular society?
And this a lot of people actually go looking for a new religion because they reject Christianity, they reject all the traditional religions, but when you look at extreme environmentalism, it is a religion because basically you are a sinner. You know, it's a sin to use anything above your means, and you have to suppress your own needs and wants because you know, you're ruining this and that. And if you look at traditional religion in every way, extreme environmentalism has definitely taken over that role, where you feel like you have to totally, you know, part of religion in a sense is saying no to certain things, like saying no to sex, saying no to drugs, saying no to meal times at certain days of the month. You know, for Jewish religions and stuff, they've got certain things that they have to pass, and this is the same sort of thing where, oh no, we can't turn on the lights now because it's
playing into this
Earth hour sort of thing.
this mythological belief system. Look, I'm going to have to pause it there. We've got John Burswell coming on imminently, so can you just stand by? I'm just going to reconnect with John.
Yeah.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Okay, well, welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia, and I'd like to welcome John Burswell to the show. John, you're limited time tonight, and you've got some important news to share with us. So first of all, just great to speak to you again, and I hope all is well with you.
Yeah, no, it's going good. Just coming off the back of a little bit of respite after her big year last year with the 9/11 Truth work. But yeah, we're just starting to ramp up again, coming up to the anniversary, obviously. But yeah, recently in the media, I mean, most people, if they're watching the subject, would be aware that the ABC decided to air another little hit piece, another little jab in the face of 9/11 Truth.
Indeed, let me pause for 1 second there for our listeners who don't know who you are. I always assume everyone knows who you are, but they might not. John Bursell, aircraft engineer, highly qualified expert in Boeing aircraft, and very long-term proponent of the 9/11 truth movement in Australia, and organizer of a number of conferences in Sydney, and very well respected, and a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Please continue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got to keep giving the context, don't we? We forget that there could be some new people listening. And
we do.
From what I've been hearing from the US and around the traps, there is interest building again in the issue of 9/11 truth. So, yeah, don't give up hope. I think we did go through a bit of a lull there after the Obama election and also the election in this country. But I think everybody's realised it's business as usual, and they continue to see more and more evidence convincing them that you know, the buildings, especially Building 7, were brought down in the manner of a controlled demolition, which leads us to conclude that the whole story of 9/11 is a false story and one that needs to be challenged so that we can find out exactly what did happen and we can figure out why the hell we're in these wars. But anyway, to get back to something, the topic at the moment, which is this attack that we saw in a show called Terrorism and Conspiracy Theories that was broadcast as part of the Counterpoint Radio National weekly program. And, yeah, it was basically, I mean, if anyone's listened to it, they would know, but I'll just give you a little bit of an idea of the introduction here. Just who was responsible for the 9/11 attacks on New York and Washington? Was it Osama bin Laden, or are there other contenders? Perhaps it was a rogue government agent operating with the tactic support of an equally shadowy group of industrialists. Or maybe it was revenge-seeking aliens who escaped from Area 51. Clive Williams is the man that started his broadcast off like this. Sorry, Duffy, Michael Duffy was the one that started the broadcast off like this as
right,
the host
yes.
of the show. And then he went on to play an audio broadcast from Clive Williams from a lecture series that he's been doing around the country looking at conspiracy theories.
I just have to interject there. It just infuriates me that these people take something so serious, such a serious topic, and actually throw it so deep in a pile of dog
muck. Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
And really take the mickey out of something that is so important. You know, whether you think it's Osama bin Laden or not, you should the disrespect is so massive. Like, you know, people always say to me, I mean, not always, but there's a few responses that I get when I say, oh, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, was to say that, oh, that's so offensive to the people that died that day and the first responders and all that. And I have to say that it's openings like that that is disrespectful.
Openings to say that
space aliens
did. The family victims, you know, family members that had people die on 9/11 have been the most outspoken right from the beginning. Obviously, many of them just want to forget about the events of that day. And also many of them were paid off, you know, with agreements that they would not want to talk about the issue if they received a certain amount of money as compensation after the attacks. So, but we do know that the people that are speaking, there's no victims, family members that I know that are out there speaking against 9/11 truth. There's definitely a considerable group of people in the hundreds that are very, very supportive of, you know, the investigation, the reinvestigation, a criminal investigation of 9/11. And, you know, there's no doubt that we're on a winner here with the evidence. The more and more evidence we see building at places like the Journal of 9/11 Studies, where about 120 peer-reviewed articles are now, and we've had three or four now peer-reviewed and published in established journals, you know, proving that the collapses of the buildings were impossible without added energy. And obviously we have the discovery of nanothermite. Now, this is where we get down to the case against ABC, which I go into the article that's up at 911oz.com right now.
Yes.
If you'd like to take a look of it there, you can see exactly what happened and you can review the audio there that's been posted. Herald posted that there today. And you can see that they're not prepared to look at any of the evidence. I mean, Harrowwood knows this very, very well with his dealings with ABC. And he actually said something to me today when we arranged this short interview that Michael Duffy's popped up in the past again with some of these issues. Is that right, Harrowwood?
Well, I've listened to Michael Duffy's program quite often on ABC Radio National. And he's actually a climate skeptic, believe it or not. He's one of the probably the only journalist in the ABC who I've ever actually heard voice climate skepticism about climate change. Now, so he's not afraid to be controversial, if you know what I mean. Like he's left field. But this is a pattern that I've actually seen with the press, and I've seen it with the Murdoch press as well, where we have someone like Andrew Bolt, who is left field on climate change, but then on other issues, extremely right-wing, extremely conservative to the extent of advocating internet censorship and calling any kind of, you know, alternative views about 9/11 as just an outrageous thing that should be suppressed. So we have this tendency with some of our journalistic figures in this country. It's like they're playing the field. It's like they're catering to certain interest groups while pushing others away. And I find this a bit suspect.
They always seem to be the opinion shock jocks that are taking these positions, and possibly because 9/11 is just so controversial. They won't jump on board that one. Because I think someone like Michael Duffy, more of an environment that was conducive to being asking questions about 9/11, might be more willing to. But I suppose, I don't know. Maybe there's something deeper. Who knows? But anyway, he's definitely been around. He's a controversial figure, like you said. And I mean, maybe he's throwing us a line with this, outrageous introduction to this show. And obviously, if you review what Clive Williams has to say. Been touring around the country. He's an adjunct professor, which means a temporary professor at ANU. The man's very poorly educated. He's an ex-military intelligence officer, and it's very difficult to believe that he would have no idea the questions over 9/11. He even talks about Building 7 in his lecture, but somehow he seems to think that buildings can fall at free fall speed, absolute free fall speed, acceleration, with no resistance, straight into the ground of their own footprint. So obviously he believes in magic. I don't know how that makes him an expert on terrorism.
Yeah, I was just imagining when I was listening to him talk, I was imagining Richard Gage being up there next to him. And I was imagining, him having to respond to Richard Gage and the authority that Richard Gage and the 1,000-plus architects and engineers represent.
Now. It's accelerating. It really is accelerating.
Is it 1,400 now?
Nearly 1,200.
1,200, right. Yeah.
But that's, since when did he make the announcement? In February, I think we reached 1,000. So, nearly a 200 people jump in a month. That's a considerable increase in the normal amount of traffic. Normally sits around about one a day over the last few years. But now we're approaching, sort of 10 a day nearly in a way, or getting up around five anyway, which is, a big increase. So I think the more and more confident people get that this organisation's growing, and I did an interview with Kevin Ryan for the podcast I'm doing at the moment, if anyone wants to check it out, at visibility911.com. It won't be up for a week or so. But and Kevin's now joined the board there. They've got a substantial board at Architects and Engineers, and they're doing conference calls nearly every other day. Now, this is a very serious, determined organisation with about 30 working members now that are actually working like full-time on the campaign.
Wow.
A lot of them are volunteers, but... we're talking about a real force to be reckoned with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Yeah,
wow, awesome. That's really impressive. Gee, it's really picked up steam, hasn't it?
And if we've got any architects...
It has. I mean, some of the other movements on the wane, but I think it'll come back, But Architects and Engineers, a lot of energy and effort and money, going into that group because they've been very, very successful. I think people are, being more focused with the campaign. We've seen that recently with this Building 7 campaign where people are just concentrating on that alone. With the New York City Council.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Go, continue, Josh. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say quickly, if we've got any architects and engineers listening, please head over to a911truth.org and sign the petition there or sign up to the list.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I signed on when there was about 20 people there. I suppose it was way back in, I think it's 2007 when that site went up. And it's funny, I've got, in my field in aviation, there's probably, 200-300 engineers that are fully sold on this, but I believe I'm the only one out of those that have signed up. So you can imagine how many people there are out there that are behind this idea but are just a bit worried about putting their pen to paper. But, come on, get serious. That's where the action is. The action's in making comments at the ABC, making complaints. The action's putting your name, your real name to things. You know, if you want to live in a free world, you've got to demonstrate that it is free. or that you're prepared to act as if it is free. We have to, we have to dream and participate in the world the way that we want to see it. And hiding in the shadows, in some anonymous name, really is not where the action is. If you want to save the world and our country from tyranny that's sweeping the world, the face of fascism is everywhere.
Yeah, I really do encourage our listeners to heed those words. Absorbing information is important, but staking your name against what you know is just massively important. You have to do it because in a situation where you're not getting the mainstream is not reflecting what the average person already thinks, then the average person has to do something to stop that. And we're just average people on this show. That's all we are.
I mean, what's the name of that chubby guy that's on the Today FM, Kyle Hintz or something? Is that his name? The guy that suggested that it was no big deal that some child was raped and there was a massive media furor? Kyle Sandler. Sorry, yeah. I don't follow the mainstream much, the lamestream, as you'd probably call it, Josh. I remember just seeing a lot of news about that. You know, there was a young girl that was on a program and they were asking about when she first had sex or something, and she mentioned that she was raped. And Kyle just sort of, dismissed it as unimportant. Massive amount of media attention on that. Now, we've just had this Michael Duffy, a so-called sort of, mainstream major journalist that does articles for the Sydney Morning Herald, supposedly our best broadsheet, and he's obviously got a spot on Radio National, really the premier news station in Australia. This man's just insulted the victims of September 11 and the victims' families, on air. We don't hear anything, And it's just ridiculous because how many children have been raped and killed and murdered during these wars?
Well, I have to say also... I have to say also, John, that Barack Obama has just done the same thing. There's an interview which was just went live a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of it, before I talked to you, just as I went to Smoko at work.
Right, yeah, Kerry O'Brien, one of ABC's top journalists, interviewed Barack Obama, and he asked Obama some hard questions there about Afghanistan. But, the response was just so completely arrogant. I was really like, it was wooden, it was robotic, actually. There was no, I didn't get any sense of humanity at all from what I heard Barack Obama say. What was your take on it?
Well, I didn't get to hear that section of the interview. As I said, I was just walking through the smoko room and I saw him, Obama, talking about carbon, cap and trade, and how there's got to be a price on carbon. That's all I really caught.
Yeah, but, well, that's another, we'll be talking about that again later on in the show. But that was another big theme of the talk. But for the first few minutes, it was about the war. And, this war in Afghanistan, they practically twice a week now, I've been following it on Wikipedia. There's a great page on Wikipedia that tracks all of the drone attacks in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Every week there's a couple, and each time each one of those drone attacks, up to dozens of people are killed.
Yeah,
and we're led to believe that the only people they're killing are the bad guys, so to speak. When it's just a missile that comes and blows up a house.
Yeah,
this is done by Obama.
How can you possibly identify the enemy unless you're on the ground? And I mean that's what America wants to do, is they want to be completely separated from the battlefield so that they can, do these things without incurring any casualties, because it seems at the point now that really only us Westerners, us good white Christian Westerners, or in some cases blacks as well, or other cultures, let's say rich, wealthy Westerners, we only seem to care about lives of our own soldiers, and only if they're in considerable numbers. Really, it seems to me that the world is now of the opinion that anyone in the Afghan hills is really the Taliban or terrorists. They're all terrorists. Let's kill them all. It seems to be that sort of attitude in the journalism. Watching what happened with that attack that we saw
arrived in the mainstream
recently, and the response from the lamestream press about that, it made me so angry just seeing them.
The corporate media didn't even mention it. I never saw it once.
it's just ridiculous. Like, I mean, Josh, I was in the military for quite some time, and I know that out of those helicopters, if we're seeing this black and white fuzzy image footage, and I can tell that they're not carrying AK-47s or RPGs, and, you know, I was only, a part-time soldier, and, you know, these guys are trained, pilots that have got very good eyesight, and they're in a helicopter in an elevated position in broad daylight. I think we should be asking why they shot those people, because they shouldn't have identified them as insurgents. And then when they shot those people trying to rescue a wounded civilian, there's no rules of engagement except maybe the Gestapo's rules of engagement during the Second World War towards the end, where they would simply just kill people for effect, you know.
At the end of the day,
isn't that the sort of thing that the war crimes trials, that the Nuremberg war crimes trials were fought over, to deal with?
Well, I think if in a different era in society, we had seen that footage, there would have been massive protests in front of the American embassy. But now it's like, I don't know, I can't understand what's happening. And you can only put it down to, people, if you're listening and you're wondering why it is, in my view, you could just got to put it down to the psychological operation of 9/11, which pressed some button inside our brains and made us inhumane. Something happened that day, and it's changed the world. And until we really get the truth, I don't think we're ever going to be the same, and we're not going to start questioning the wars the way that we should, and questioning humanity the way that we should. You know, we set up a website, and thousands of dollars of help come in, and people are all over the shore when a whale's dying, a baby whale. It's just a course of nature. But we can't give two cents or a care in the world that, you know, people are strafed in the streets of an occupied country that we invaded. That's absurd. I just can't deal with these sorts of realities anymore. It's getting very difficult.
Well, I mean, we know that one of the people killed in that gunship attack was a Reuters reporter, so we know that he wasn't an insurgent,
and we probably would have never heard about it if it hadn't been.
Yeah, it was two, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
look, these things happen. You know, one thing that really, how I explain to people is, why in society is it bad for me to go out and kill people, yet someone in a can put on a costume, a green costume or a blue costume, and have the authority just to go and kill people, and especially in a green costume, they can just kill someone. There's no jury. There's no sort of is he bad? Is he not? No, just shoot them.
Well, that's it. A fellow that I know of in my hometown, was attacked by a group of men in his caravan at the back of a property. And he pulled out an old .22 Derringer pistol that he had, you know, that could he couldn't even have a trigger. He had to cock it to fire it. He pulled that out in self-defense. Didn't even use it. He went to jail for 3 months. But then people that killed people indiscriminately with a 30mm cannon in someone else's country, children and innocent civilians, you know, recklessly enjoying it, you know, there's no persecution at all. There's no punishment. Mm-hmm.
I know. Where's the outrage?
It's a crazy world. You know, we're super regulated at our level, and there's no freedom at all, really. But if you're in someone else's country, illegally invading and occupying their country, you can do whatever you like. It really is an empire. This is how empires are. You know.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I heard a story today. Someone told me that someone broke into their into someone's house, and this person drew a gun to defend himself in his own house. And shot the guy in the leg or something, and the guy ended up suing, the robber ended up suing him and won in court.
I've got to go. I've got an arriving aircraft, so I've got to shoot. But anyway, it's great talking to you guys again, and we'll have to do it again. So if anyone wants to find out what's going on, please check the 9/11 Oz site out. Now, you'll notice that where the audio is, there's not a direct link there to the comments of that, but you will see in the comments on the article in the forum, I've put the link up if you want to make the comment at the ABC. They're only checking the comments there or moderating them once a day, it seems, which is pretty slack.
That's slack, yeah.
But anyway, there is a link at the bottom of the story at 911oz.com that gives you a link to complaints. And please complain and tell
Flood
the
them.
ABC that they're failing to inform the Australian people of the truth.
Call them, send letters, send comments, everything you can possibly do.
And we'll be protesting there again soon.
I'm looking forward to doing that again. I've got a bit of, steam up again for that. Yeah.
That's good. Okay, boys, I'll see you later. Have a good one.
Cheers. All thanks, right. John.
Okay, bye-bye.
There goes a hero.
There
John Bursell.
Goes a hero, indeed. Hey, look, we're going to break for a song.
Brilliant.
I'm lined up. Brilliant. Here. Here we go.
The ponies run. The girls are young. The odds are there to beat. You win a while. Then it's done, your little winning streak. And summer now to deal with your invincible defeat. You live your life as if it's real. A thousand kisses deep. I'm turning tricks. I'm getting fixed. I'm back on Boogie Street. You lose your grip, and then you slip into the masterpiece.
Sometimes when
and gold. A thousand kisses deep, the ponies run, the girls are young, the odds are there to beat. You win a while, and then it's done, your little winning streak. And summer now to deal with your invincible defeat. You live your life as if it's real. A thousand kisses deep.
It was Leonard Cohen there singing A Thousand Kisses Deep. You know, I think in some ways Leonard Cohen is the most subversive of songwriters because he puts messages into his music that are very deep commentary on human nature. But he does it in such a way that it's so tied in with emotions and sexuality that you know, he could never be censored, I don't think. You know, it's like there's a lot of subversive messages about life, but it's so infused with art that I really admire it because it bypasses anything that could be called political.
Yeah.
And yet communicates it.
If your ears are open.
Yeah. Well, it goes to that level, you know, which I think all great art does, actually.
Now, folks, I just wanted to say that we here at Truth News Radio Australia, we do everything on shoestring, and we'd really love your help. We're putting a call out there, and we're going to do this for the next month or so. We're going to put a call out there to please take our audio and upload them to YouTube because we don't have time.
Absolutely.
You know, start your own account. We don't care whose account it's on. Just get the stuff on YouTube because we need more people listening to us. We've got a lot. I mean, you know, the show already, I mean, what are the numbers like already now? You know,
we're in the thousands, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the thousands. So we're definitely getting out there. But it can always be bigger and better, and YouTube is a fantastic way to do it. So, you know, stick some imagery or just a still picture. There's lots of software out there that can make it quite easy for you just to stick a picture behind something and stick some audio and then cut it up into 10-minute chunks. It would really help us out, you know, if it's something you can do, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Look, we would really, really appreciate that. You know, create an account on YouTube and just start uploading. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, just going back to what we were talking about, environmentalism and as religion.
Sure.
You know, I consider myself an environmentalist, to be honest, folks.
Well, good on you, Josh. Yeah.
Years and years. I don't want the earth to die. I don't want to live in a polluted place. I try to eat as much organic food as I can and stay away from pesticides. I don't like the farming practices that we're under right now that are commonplace. You know, I don't want our earth and our fellow animals and flora and fauna to suffer either. But all we're doing really is falling into the hands of bankers by going along with this crazy global warming thing. Anyway, Dr. Robert Nelson, he's of University of Maryland. He's written an amazing thesis on comparing environmentalism as a modern form of religion, and it is stunning. Like when you listen to it, it's stunning. You can I've actually just posted it on the Twitter feed. That's twitter.com/truthnewsoz with an OZ, truthnewsoz, and it's a YouTube video, and it's very very good.
Hi everybody, this is Stephen Molyneux from Freedom Radio.
I just opened that page. Do you want to hear a bit of it?
Yeah, if you want to play a little bit.
Oh, it's just, quite long. I say it's 47 minutes long. Yeah.
It's quite a long piece. But there's some really, really, really poignant, amazing things that I never even thought of. That were like, wow, this is really quite true. It is a newer religion. Yeah.
Look, I just also want to point out that I'm not anti-religion. I'm not. I don't call myself an atheist. And I don't denigrate people who are religious, as some people do. Many people, you know, in the truth movement and all around, you know, there's many people who are considered themselves atheist and they denigrate religion. But when I talk about the environmental movement being a religion, you see, they don't want to admit it. If they would admit that it was a religion, then we could move ahead, right? They insist that they've got science on their side, but they use science like the church uses, you know, the Bible.
No, well, like the church uses science. They twist it.
Well, they take scientists' statements that have been, you know, carefully chosen to represent what they want to believe and what they believe, and then they say, well, it's science, you can't argue with it because it's science. But the whole point of what science is science always allows questioning. You can question anything in science. You can question the theory of gravity if you want. If you don't think gravity is correct, if Newton was wrong, prove it, and you might just disprove the theory of gravity.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what Einstein did. Einstein came along and disproved some things that Newton had established for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's right. Crazy guy in a clerk's office.
Exactly.
Now, you know, and I agree with you, Herod. I don't have a problem with religion. I don't have a problem with people that, you know, people are free to believe whatever they want as long as they don't hurt me physically or mentally. Now, you know, so that's fine. But when it comes down to causing the whole globe to have a dictatorial fascistic tax thrown on them, thrown on the peoples of the earth, on the basic blocks of life, which is carbon, I mean, you've got to step back and you've got to say, hey, just step off for a second.
Step off the bus. And look, can I just digress here? Because I've got something, I want a little kind of philosophical digression I wanted to make.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit tangential to where you're headed there, but I think it's really been on my mind. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about the philosophy of liberty, the philosophy of libertarianism, right? Mm. And just allow me to explain it in my own way. I'm not pulling this from a book. I'm not reading you some, you know, treatise or manifesto that's come out of some guy's, you know, head. This is from me, okay?
Yeah.
The philosophy of liberty, about the way I see it, is this. We are, each one of us, absolutely unique individuals on this earth, and we are each one of us special, amazing, empowered with vast, you know, brain power. Each of the 7 billion or so people on this planet has this massive brain, this massive evolved presence on this earth. And I believe that it is part of our individuation, part of our necessary personal individuation, personal evolution, for us to become more than merely the sort of people that just go along with the consensus view because they don't want to offend and they don't want to make waves and they just don't want to disrupt peer group approval. So they never step out of line and never kind of say anything that other people haven't already given them the okay to say. You know, this way of being is one which I feel is so untrue to our potential as human beings, that I'm just begging, I'm just on my hands and knees begging the people out there, the people listening to this show, the people out there in the entire planet, to stop doing that. stop being what we call the sheeple mentality and wake up to your true amazing mentality, your true amazing potential. And let me, I'm going to go further. I'm going to criticize here.
Take it all away.
Yeah. I'm going to go further, because what I'm going to criticize now is the mentality that I've seen very, very predominant in my lifetime of where people always talk about, you know, people having an ego, and having an ego is a terrible thing. You know, everything's caused by, he has a big ego. Oh, terrible, terrible. And this attitude towards people not being allowed to have an ego is part of why everyone is so suppressed. Now, I guarantee you, anyone who ever achieved anything positive in this world had a big ego. You've got to have a big ego, folks. Okay. And that, again, is about the philosophy of libertarianism. Yeah. It's okay to have desires. It's okay to have an ego. It's okay to enjoy getting attention.
Well, you know, funny thing is, this is typical as well. I see it all the time, where I'll say, look, it's virtuous to be selfish.
Sure.
You know, and people say, what? That's despicable. But then they'll open up, you know, a book by some Buddhist thinker and read the thing that'll say, know yourself before you can help, you have to be good within yourself before you can help others. And it's the same thing. It's saying the same thing.
Yeah, so interesting.
Is be, you know, help yourself. Become the best person you can be, and by doing that, you're helping other people naturally, and that is a selfish act. But by being selfish, you are actually not being selfish. You are showing and shining a light of the way to go for other people. You know, like, for instance, Kerry Packer, it was an extremely selfish, greedy man.
Yeah.
You know, he built everything on his own greed and stuff, right? He never really cared about it. He just wanted to build this TV station and a TV. But by doing that, I mean, he's made lots of people extremely rich, because they were employed by him, and they figured out how to do new TV things. And so by him being selfish, he's empowered other people to do extraordinary things as well, by, you know, building huge antennas and becoming better entertainers. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to come up with a situation where someone is by being,
thanks for throwing that into the mix, Josh, because I think what we've got to realize here is that, yes, there are those symbols of the highly powerful business person, or, you know, highly, you know, selfish person who becomes very powerful, and we see them as being a symbol, paradoxically, I mean, that they are kind of worshipped in the media, but then the average person says that they were terrible people. You know, so there's always this paradox. You know, it's like, all I want to say is that yes, you know, these very selfish people do end up wielding a lot of power. And if you think that you're going to make the world a better place by just keeping your head down and just letting the selfish, aggressive, and totally unprincipled ones be the ones who run everything, while you, the person who's got principles, the person who does actually care, does nothing, because you just don't want to, you know, you think it's virtuous to just, you know, not make waves. Well, you're a fool. I mean, you're the one who should be getting pumped up. You're the one who should be being more selfish. You're just allowing these sold out, these people who've sold out to the dark side to actually move up higher and higher into the positions of control all through society. And you, the good people of the world, are just going to just quietly just bury your head in the sand.
Yeah, and so by doing
I don't mean to say the listeners to this show, but you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, and you know, if you really feel passionate about something, whether that's, you know, old people haven't got anyone, you know, that they're getting left behind. Well, if you feel passionate about that, stand up, be virtuous, and go and do things to help old people, the older people in our society, go and help out the old folks home and stuff like that. If you feel passionate about 9/11 truth, well, give John Bursell a call. He could definitely use a hand. If you feel passionate about what we're doing here, start helping us by uploading YouTube videos, doing stuff, making you will make you feel better about yourself, and you know about and other people will get an amazing boost of inspiration from you as well.
Yeah, and you know your presence in the world will change. Your sense of who you are will evolve. You know, you will become more true to who you are. And this really is important, because what we've seen with what we've been trying to do with the movements that we're in is there's been a huge reluctance of people to actually get involved on the ground physically. And I'm trying to get into the mind state. This is even within the people who are supportive of what we do. And I've even had emails about this, actually. It's quite, you know, it's, and I feel for people. I do understand it. It you know, it pulls my heartstrings when I read people saying that they don't want to stick their neck out because they've got family, and you know, they're trying to juggle everything, and sometimes their spouses, you know, don't want them to be talking about these things. So quite often there's actually internal disputes within families. I totally relate to it, and it's heartbreaking. But you know, the people who are waking up really do have to get out there. You know, it's really that. It's reached that point now where if you're awake but you're not doing anything, it's critical now that you actually start getting active.
Yeah, and when we say awake, I mean, it does sound all a little bit, you know, over the top and stuff. But what we mean by that is if you can look at the television and say and actually decode it for what it is, you know, start looking at stuff and thinking critically. I guess that's what we're saying. If you can think critically,
yeah,
about things that are being fed to you, about things that are being fed to your children at schools, at things that are being told around. If you can think critically and argue against them or stand up against them, or things that you don't. I mean, even if you think that global warming's a good thing. Is a real, you know, human-made global warming is a real thing. I would even encourage you to get up and be active about that.
Yeah.
Because it's if you feel passionate about that, well, then research it. Research it like hell.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, Duke University.
Sorry.
And really, you know, and figure it out for yourself and start a podcast if that's what you're passionate about. I'd say it's a bit ridiculous. But at least you're active, and at least you're doing something, because that's going back to your initial statement. What freedom is? Freedom is the freedom to say that I don't agree.
Yeah, and the freedom to stand up for the truth when you see someone lying. Mm. Now, if there's kids in your school who are being put on psychological drugs that for no apparent reason that you know about,
yeah,
that the teachers are dispensing drugs to kids, you know, if you can't just go along with that, you got to do something. I mean, it's like if there's something in your world, in your environment that is wrong, you've got to make some steps, make some waves. You can be as polite as possible, but you can't, in all good conscience, when you know about these things that are wrong, and we've been covering them on this show about so many topics. The same with the vaccinations. You know, you can't be letting your kids get vaccinated. Like, apparently some doctors, and this is really, really, again, heartbreaking, Josh. Apparently many doctors don't get their own kids vaccinated, but they'll quite happily vaccinate the kids of parents who bring their children to the doctor. They'll vaccinate other people's kids, but they won't vaccinate their own. Now,
well,
what is
I
that really
someone
saying?
In my own apartment block, who is a vaccination person, they go around to businesses and vaccinate people for the flu shot, and I said, oh, I wouldn't take that if I had to, I'd put up a fight, and she said, oh yeah, same here, I've never taken it, and she's administered thousands of these shots to major companies, you know, and one thing she did say to me, by the by, is that this year's flu shot has got the swine flu shot in it.
Well, oh wow, okay. Well, they had to do something with that stockpile that they bought, you know.
Yeah.
Because they bought something like 20 million vials, and you know, we had the mildest flu season I think in recorded memory.
Yeah, so you can go onto the Google. Google has this flu tracker, and it's quite amazing. You can see the outbreaks and where they are around the world, and per year. And literally last year was the mildest, and it was the biggest scare campaign in millions and millions of dollars spent on advertising and taxpayers' money on flu shots. And anyway, just to get back quickly to wrap up what you're saying,
yeah,
you know, liberty is about standing up for yourself, and we have no excuses this day and age. We have the internet right now. We have a free and open internet. We can look up and print out any information we can, and we can give it to people. And if you are even too scared to confront them by, you know, face to face, then print something out and stick it in a letterbox. Stick it somewhere where they'll find it. Or you know, stick some information up around the school about vaccines and what they're doing. Or stick something up about 9/11 truth on posters. You know, do your bit in society. Freedom of press was the first thing in the American Constitution, because in a free society, you need press to expose corruption, because the police aren't going to do it because they're corrupt. Whoever's in power, whoever's got a uniform on, is corrupt. That's just the nature of it. So in a free society, the press, who can also be corrupted.
And don't be afraid to be a bit selfish, you know? Like, yeah. Don't. And this is part of the environmentalist religion that I think is really it damps down people's actual human potential to the extent that it's always making people feel guilty. And I've actually even read articles where they said, you know, that the person of the future, the man of the future, will have to be much more humble, you know, much more sort of passive, humble type of person than the man of today. Now, what is that? What is that really? It's actually just creating a slave society.
Yeah.
A society of conditioned, oppressed people who suppress their own feelings, their own instincts, and they'll be managed by an elite, an oligarchy, who are, I assure you, quite the opposite in their tendencies. It's always like that at the higher levels.
Oh, look at them. I mean, Al Gore, all of them, they have their own private jets. Yeah. They fly around. They go, oh, well, I can't possibly... You know, with everything I'm doing a lot more good using the plane than I am without.
Yeah.
That's the sort of rubbish that they feed you back, you know. And this is the kind of justifications that will happen from the oligarchs.
Indeed. I'm just going to take a quick break.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
Right.
I always laugh at that juxtaposition of music there. It's just really angry and,
yeah,
you know.
That that's part of what we're on about. Yeah, we deal with the extremes. Yeah.
Yeah, we just throw it out and chuck it in and chuck it back around. Hey, so folks, if you want to leave us a comment, please do. If you disagree with us, we'd love to hear from you. It's truthnews.com.au, and the Twitter feed again is twitter.com/truthnewsoz with an OZ. We always love to hear from our listeners. We get some great mail. Also, leave us a message on the Skype number. We've got a Skype answering machine, and it's, you know, I can assure you we won't be answering it. So you can just leave a message.
Absolutely.
On there. Leave a crank call if you want. You know, we don't care.
Leave a crank call. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, give us a call. Give us a buzz.
Give us a call. We're paying on it. We're paying for it. So it's free for you guys. So just call up and... if you're calling it from a landline, it's not free. It's just like a normal phone call. But that number comes out in the emails. If you're subscribed to the emails, it's right in there.
It is indeed. Look, there's just a couple of stories I want to cherry pick from the Twitter stream because we don't really have that much time left. But I wanted to mention one story here, which it's interesting because I tweeted – a few days ago a story about how the United States had approved the targeted killing of an American citizen. And this was published.
That's nice of them, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And it's funny because the story popped up on some random thing that I was looking at. I thought, gee, that's odd. And I'll just read you the story that I tweeted a few days ago. And then there's a kicker to it. U.S. approves targeted killing of American cleric. The Obama administration has taken the extraordinary step of authorizing the targeted killing of an American citizen, the radical Muslim cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who is believed to have shifted from encouraging attacks on the United States to directly participating in them. Mr. Awlaki, who was born in New Mexico and spent years in the United States as an imam, is in hiding in Yemen. He has been the focus of intense scrutiny since he was linked to Nidal Malik Hassan, the army psychiatrist accused of killing 13 people at Fort Hood in November, and then to Umar Farouk Abdul Mutala, the Nigerian man. I'm pretty good at reading these names, aren't I?
You're unreal.
The Nigerian man charged the underpants bomber, for those who want to, you know, it's quick. The underpants bomber, the man who was charged with trying to blow up a Detroit-bound airliner in December 25. So this guy is really linked in to the hardcore kind of superstar terrorist events of recent times, right?
Yeah, and folks, you know, a lot of people will say, geez, they're sticking up for these terrorist punks. These guys should just be, you know, shut down. But look, I don't agree with violence, full stop. I don't agree with violence that this sheikh is apparently talking about, and I don't agree with a state having the authority to just use its extraordinary power to just kill someone, because that's where Nazi Germany headed.
Well, it's murder. I mean, you know, it's not even like the death penalty, where you actually had a trial with a jury and all that. It's just murder. You know, that's what it is. Let's just be honest with language here. But look, the kicker to this story, folks, is right on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald today. It's a huge headline story. And I just got the newspaper out of my bag here. And I'm actually holding the newspaper up as we speak. And the title is Al-Qaeda at City Mosque. This is a real pot stirrer, scaremongering story that the Fairfax Press has decided to run as their top story for today. And guess who's on the photograph? Guess who's featured right on that page? This same guy, Mr. Anwar al-Awlaki, the one that they're trying to kill, right?
Yeah.
And apparently
the CIA killed
due to give he's on his way to Sydney. Can you believe it? He was actually invited to speak, and I've just got the story. I can't actually see the paper properly here. I'm going to try and get the – here it is. I've got it up on the screen here. Al-Qaeda at City Mosque. An Al-Qaeda recruiter described as the number one terrorist threat to America was engaged by a Sydney youth group to address hundreds of young people. So this guy is potentially going to be in Sydney, but – the CIA is after him with a hit squad, and that's why I tweeted the story as CIA hit squad coming to Sydney soon, right? That's the story I tweeted, because it says here that he is the first US citizen to be added to the CIA kill list.
Yeah, it's not just a CIA list of bad people. It's
the kill
CIA
list.
Kill list.
And it says here, this is in the Sydney Morning Herald, he faces assassination by special forces. So do you realise that if he comes here, that the special forces could come and gun him down, or maybe they'll use a drone attack. Maybe he'll be in a cafe in downtown in Sydney, and they'll launch a drone attack. Well, of course, we know they wouldn't do that in this country.
That's too many taxpayers.
Yeah, they would certainly do it in Pakistan. But this is the point, though. When they say assassination by special forces, that's what they mean. They mean drone attack. Typically,
yeah. That's a very, very full on story.
Incredible. It's just it's enough to make you really want to throw up.
Yeah. Another story we've got here on our list is the Conroy Hitler Youth, the Conroy Youth. Basically, Conroy has gotten 17 schools. An additional 17 schools. So there's already some. To participate in a youth advisory group on cyber safety. Senator Conroy, he's really gathering steam by getting a whole heap of kids together to sort of basically advise him as from the youth core about cyber safety. And of course, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get this. We've got to stop bullying and all this sort of stuff. And it basically gets them on board a net filter, and it gets schools talking about it. It gets teachers talking to schools about how a net filter would be great. It gets this is all part of a slow creep towards making it totally normal that something that is so amazing and so stunning as the internet and so free as the internet to be shut down into a corporate duopoly, or maybe a hundred or so, sort of maybe a thousand. Maybe you'll get 1,000 channels on the internet in the future, you know, that you can look at. But that's about it. You know, this sort of shutting down of the mainstream internet.
Indeed, indeed. Look, another story I just wanted to cover quickly. It's one that we've looked into before, and I'd like to get more data on it. Housing shortage faked to drive up prices. And this actually came from the CEC, the Citizens Electoral Council. And I don't always have 100% confidence in their stories. They often exaggerate a little, I have to say. But this is actually one we've looked into before, and I know that there is some truth to it. And I'll just read you here some key points. There is no housing shortage in Australia. Rather, tens of thousands of empty homes in each capital city are being kept off the market to force property prices up and sucker investors into becoming debt mules as they race to get into the market.
Yeah.
Citizens Electoral Council leader Craig Isherwood today blasted the fraud. The faked housing shortage is driving Australia's homelessness crisis, housing affordability crisis, and exploding debt crisis. Either the government stops the fraud and reorganises the economy in an orderly way, or the housing bubble that is entirely based on this fraud will soon blow and there will be chaos. The faked housing shortage is the foundation of the impression that Australia has experienced an economic recovery. After falling 6% between 2008 and 2009, median property prices in Australia have skyrocketed 12% in 1 year and 18% in the hotspot of Melbourne on the back of the first homeowner grant scheme and the hyped-up fear of a housing shortage. Tabloid media outlets have fed the masses reports of a property-based recovery and promised property prices will double from 500,000 to 1 million in less than a decade, urging investors to, quote, get in early. The result is a self-fulfilling prophecy as panicked investors flee into the market, driving up prices in the huge property Ponzi scheme.
You know, if the government was to go out there and say, Quick, get in early before the Telstra prices are set to double. Get in early. It would be insider trading. It would be, it would be totally wrong to make false claims and set up a scheme and give tax breaks. For some reason, the basics of living, which is having a roof over your head, is becoming fundamentally hard to obtain.
It is, Josh. It is. It is. It's not. It's quite tragic.
And there are literally thousands and thousands of empty places sitting there because of these tax havens that the government sets up. And this is typical of governments. They set up these ridiculous schemes, and that's what they are, folks. They're schemes. Every time you hear the word scheme, you have to put a big question mark in front of it, right? Every time there's a scheme of a tax scheme, you've got to think, well, bubble coming. You know, bubble coming. That's what you got to think. Because first homeowners grants, bubble coming. Why do they want... All of a sudden, they've dropped the... also, they've dropped the conditions you need to be a foreign investor. So back in the day, maybe only about 5 years ago, you to be a foreign investor, you had to buy only brand new properties. That's now finished. Now you can buy anything.
Right.
So it's this desperation to keep property prices at a record high.
You know, if the people of Australia just could just wake up, I just have to keep saying it, you know. We should just decide we're not going to buy any more properties. Just stop doing it. Use your money for something else. Because if we all did that, the prices would all drop. Yeah. Do you realize that?
But the thing is, if people we all don't did want them that? To drop because they feel like, oh no, because then my superannuation drops. But the thing is, you know, a friend of mine said, oh, I'm loving it. Just got my house evaluated, and it's worth another $800,000 than what I paid for it. And I said, yeah, but as soon as you sell that and go buy another place, that's also gone up $800,000, mate.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't made any money. You know, so if every bit of property dropped,
yeah,
it would be fine because you sell your place and you buy another one. Yeah. Now, yeah, people will say, well, that's not how investment works. You buy one, you leverage it, and then you rent it out and this and that. And yeah, of course. But the fundamental thing here is property should be for living in, and they should get the speculators out.
Yeah,
and stop giving these tax havens to properties. Stop it. Give the tax havens, if you really have to shares and stocks and stuff like that. But just get out of the... Stop interfering with houses.
Absolutely. And, Leo, truth news, we're going to be running truth-ins. I meant to announce this during the show today. Our first truth-in is going to be next month, where we get out on the street with professional camera gear.
Truth out.
Yeah, truth out, truth in, you know. but basically, we're going to be spearheading awareness-driving events in the center of Sydney, and we're going to do it professionally, okay? We're going to film it professionally. Indeed. And one of them is going to be focused on this fake housing shortage, because that, to me, is so central to our lifestyle and our society. But our first truth in is actually going to be on the internet censorship and the internet filter, and we're going to do some great stuff on the 8th of May. So if you can get there, you've got to get in touch with us. You've got to actually join the meetup group that I've sent out emails to those who are on our mailing list, and I'll also post it on the Truth News notes, because you actually need to register for this, and you need to turn up on time so that we can actually choreograph it and film it, and you'll get a T-shirt.
Yeah, so I'm giving out 10 free T-shirts. What we're trying to do is set up flash mobs where we all just organize something, and then we go and do it somewhere, and so we all dress just like normal people, and then all of a sudden something that we all do together freaks everyone else out, you know, that's in the crowd, because they think, what? Well, where's all these hundreds of people all of a sudden doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Things like that, you know, that really get people's attention.
And it gives you a passion. If you want to do something, it gives you something to channel your passion, because everyone's got this passion, you know. Well, yeah, we're just trying to create opportunities for that, to channel that. So, and they've got to be on the street. You've got to get out there. You've got to meet people. You've got to, you know, break through the barrier. That's part of what we're up to.
If you guys have got any great ideas, you know, tweet about them or head over there to Truth News Oz and leave a comment for ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, please do that. Please do that. A couple of other top stories just want to briefly touch on. We've got a fantastic article by Joanne Nova. I just really want to encourage everyone to get over to ABC Unleashed and look at this article by Joanne Nova, one of the most important Australian scientists. Well, she's a woman with scientific training. She's not actually like a practicing scientist. She's actually a mother with three kids, but she's written a lot on science. She's got teaching qualifications, and she's the most articulate spokesperson in Australia about climate change scepticism. And she wrote an opinion piece for the ABC Unleashed, which I had the brief honour of being a contributor to 2 years ago. And her article on ClimateGate has now got 1,200 comments. So, and it's just, the comments have just been pouring into this article. It's very passionate. It's very strongly worded. She's getting attacked, but she's also getting massive support. And it's just worth checking it out, because just read the article and then read the comments, because there's enough reading there to keep you amused for hours. It's amazing stuff. And look, folks, you may think, if you've been listening to us and you've been following all the alternative news on climate change, that it's all over. No way. Nowhere near it.
Oh, it's amping up, folks.
Obama and Rudd are coming together on this. I told you in this show earlier today, the interview with Kerry O'Brien, Obama is making statements like he's like the emperor of the world, saying that there will be a carbon trading scheme for the planet. That's what Obama is saying as the ruler of the most powerful superpower on earth that can just nuke other countries. That's what Obama is saying. So if you think it's over, it's not. They're trying to force it on us. They're going to force it on us. And we don't want it. We've already established it. We don't want it. But they're just going to say, no, the people want it. No, there's these few people who disagree with it, but they're funded by the oil cartels or they're lunatics, we should outlaw it. And there's been a plan to outlaw climate change denial from a top UK lawyer, the Ecocide Law. And under the terms of the Ecocide Law, they would actually be able to prosecute
climate change deniers. Yeah, this goes all the way to the Hague Convention.
Yeah. It says here, and this was published in The Guardian UK on Friday the 9th of April. It says here, supporters of the new Ecocide Law believe it could be used to prosecute climate deniers who distort science and facts to discourage voters and politicians from taking action to tackle global warming and climate change. What a bald-faced admission of what their true agenda is, folks. It's right there in black and white.
Really, really frightening. Very frightening.
It is the total suppression of free speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's full on. And folks, again, please please comment. And Harold, thanks for a great show.
It's been superb. We've probably got to wind it up. I know you're a busy man, and I really appreciate your contributions to the show, Josh. It's been superb, and will continue to be.
Thank you, Squire.
I invite all of our listeners to step up. Well, on that cheery note, we'll say good night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night from Truth News at Radio Australia.